Hey, everybody, welcome back. Another edition of Inside Lion Athletics. It's school time. Football's less than 2 weeks away. And Jim Curry, we got a huge soccer match tomorrow night. It will be the first ever contest at the Division I era without that reclass asterisk. It's gone for good.
Yeah, totally. It's exciting. You know, as we've been onboarding teams, I've been talking with them about just the history, right, of this place.
And, yeah.
You know, six national championships, 110 conference championships, and just kind of the foundation that's here. And, you know, we've had that kind of, you know, asterisk on us, I would say, over the last 3 years. Just to, despite all that success, we haven't had an opportunity to kind of maybe add to that in the way that we want to. Obviously,
sure,
we could have won conference championships during that time, and we were close. But I think it – and one of the things we talked about is that now with this, with kind of the standard that is set here, and then now with the opportunity that's in front of us, you know, now the expectations and the standards continue to increase, and we got to match that, not just from, you know, what's expected here, but what we want to try to achieve, particularly at this level in Division I, which makes it obviously immensely harder.
Have you ever had the chance to visit with any of the old Lions about the move from NAIA to Division II back in the early 80s? I think it was 82 when the Lions.
That's a great question. You know, I have not had a conversation with anybody about
that.
That would be an interesting conversation to have. I do believe, yeah. I think that'd be great.
Eddie Val might. No, yeah, well, that was like maybe 15 years before him. Maybe not.
Yeah, he was the D coordinator, though, before that, right?
Ooh,
for the head coach.
So
I think he may have been here during that time.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, Lion fans,
there
send
you
us your – how do people send us messages for this program?
I think we just send everything to Avi, don't we?
Yeah. Okay. I'm down with that.
Sorry, Avi.
He's just one more thing on his –
The nice thing is that all the complaints, he usually keeps them from us. So, you know, that's a good thing.
Hey, you need somebody at the gate like that.
That's right. At least the complaints for our podcast. So,
true. Right. Yeah, well,
we hear from our fans on things that we can be better at, and actually, some of that is, I think, has been reflected in what we're doing on the ticketing and the parking and the tailgate front this year for football.
Oh, you know, that brings up valid, good thing to talk about.
What a good segue, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a month or so still before
I think we're 6.5 weeks from the home opener.
Yikes!
Which is kind of wild to think, particularly given the energy around the week one opponent and everything that's going on there. And I'm sure we'll get to that because that's been an incredible response to that game. But, yeah, we just put out new information about ticketing and parking and tailgate for next year – or for this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
For this year.
Next season, begins
which
in...
begins here. Yeah, exactly. If you can tell, I don't know the month, the day. It's all good, though.
We thought you were lost before.
Yeah, right, exactly. Trust me. So a lot of exciting changes there, and really all with the fan in mind. You know, people will see a new seat map for the stadium, and they'll probably see, oh, my gosh, there's a lot of color going on here in this map and a lot of different stratification. And the answer is yes, that's right. And we did that intentionally so for a couple reasons. One is that we are trying to, for particularly our chairback seat holders, you know, before we only had chairback and GA.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're trying to kind of get some order in the west side of the stadium, with that type of construct, it's hard because I think when people buy a GA ticket, they just think everything's GA.
Right.
And some people know it's not all GA, mind you. But I can understand why that comes in. And so if we can get a little bit more structure and really protect our chairback seat holders and mm-hmm. to ensure that no one's in their seat when they get there, that's something that we've heard from our fans is important. We've heard it, and we want to try to do something in response to that. In addition to that, we've heard from our students about wanting to have a more defined space for them. And we mm-hmm. know that the section that's kind of – it was painted before, and we're going to actually expand that. But we've expanded their footprint to be responsive to their demands in the space and give them, a home. They've been looking for a home a little bit. And so it was a little bit amorphous with GA, right? So
right.
If I'm a GA patron, I'm not in chairback. Well, I can sit in any section. Well, no, we kind of have this student section. So we've given them a space. And then the other thing, too, is we've kind of seen an uptick in response from groups. And we want to be able to give them a space. in on the west side as well as they get on boarded, and we've got a really nicely discounted ticket for groups that have 10 or more. And so, and then the other thing too is we're planning for success. And so when we think about the opportunity that's ahead of us, and particularly this year, you know, we are planning for success. And we saw a little bit of, I would say, the impact of not having a defined reserve seat on the west side during the Grambling game last year, because we had such a great response, great ticket sales on that, that it was not going to be, frankly, I think, operationally sustainable for us to continue in the chairback GA only posture.
Yeah.
Long term, particularly if we're going to enjoy the type of success that we're planning for and preparing for, you know, on the field, we've got to be responsive to that. And so that really kind of drove us to number the entire west side. And then what we've done too is
even on the bleacher seats.
Even on the bleacher seats, yep. Before it was just a numbered seat on the chairback. Now the bleachers are numbered as well throughout the entire west side. And then we've also looked at just some price stratification. We're trying to be really sensitive from a price perspective to say, hey, we don't want price to be a barrier entry for anybody that wants to enjoy Lion football. And so we now have, if it's before day of game, there is a GA ticket on the east side that is $903. How apropos, right? $9.03 for anybody to get in and watch a Division I college football game here in Northeast Texas. And so we're excited about that. That stratification gives us the opportunity. If you want a little bit better seat or a little bit more amenity or, you know, location's important for you, we've got you covered. If you just want to get in the door and enjoy Lion football and you don't care where you sit, we got you covered as well. So that was really the thought process there. We've got some premium, some new premium amenities we're adding as well. So in the end zone, we had the tents last year. We saw a really good response on that. And actually a lot of people that reached back out saying, hey, you're going to do that again. And then we're actually going to add a new feature. It's frankly an end zone loge box concept where you get a table, chairs, you know, access to restrooms, food, everything like that. It's going to be open air because we can't put a cover over that and block the play clock behind there.
Right.
That's actually where our issue's coming in there. But it's going to be a new feature, a little lower price point than the tents. But I would say you can get your buddies over there. You can enjoy some of
the field club level.
It's the field club level for sure. That's exactly it. So, and this loge concept's going to be really important because as we get into the arena, the new arena, you're going to see that concept in there. And so we're going to start rolling this out and kind of just letting our fans test it and play with it a little bit to see what they like there. So that's the stadium map. We put that out a couple days or yesterday.
Well, let me ask you, you talked about the student section y'all created.
Yep.
And so I'm guessing they're going to be lower on the west bleachers, on the south side, where they've kind of naturally gravitated between, you know, the bands up high, students down low, and that's now the Lion's Den.
It's the Lion's Den. That's right. Yeah, we did a fan vote, and it was targeted at students. So we didn't say anybody couldn't vote, but it was primarily targeted for students. It's their space. We wanted to give some ownership to that, and we had a really good turnout, and that was the winner. That was the winner. And we had kind of, I would say, informally, maybe formally in the past at some point, that had kind of been the moniker that seems to have stuck. We opened it back up to see if maybe there was an appetite for something different, but that was the winner. It was a very clear winner in that whole
thing.
Were
there any write-in candidates?
Like, there were some, good ones. Yes, yeah. There were some good ones in there. There was one I really kind of liked. It was the Hail Raisers, which I thought was an awesome name.
Hail ET.
So whoever submitted that, I liked it a lot.
That's a T-shirt. I'm telling you,
it was really
Hail
good.
Raisers.
So it was really good. There was a couple others in there, but that was the one I think that stood out the most. That was, I would say, a write-in candidate.
I like that.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
That's great. Awesome.
Yeah, it was really
so
good.
On the tailgating part. So everybody knows, you can picture where the field house is in relation to the stadium. So that space between the field house and the stadium, is there still going to be traffic through there, or is that all tailgate now?
So that is a parking lot, or was a parking lot previously.
Yes.
And so really what we've done is we're just going to let you tailgate at your parking spot now.
Okay.
Like, I know that sounds really like simple, but for us, that's not how it operated here before. And you know, again, I don't, have all the backstory on it in terms of why. I know we had a little bit closer tailgate and proximity to the service road. You could previously kind of park on the service road back into tailgating. So, you know, one of the things that we kind of looked at was we looked at what was working well. Mm-hmm. Proximity to the stadium was working well. Having access to some grass space worked well. Mm-hmm. Having some access to some hardscape, you know, whether that be road or curb or sidewalk, worked well, particularly if there was a, you know, rain. We've been lucky there, knock on wood, with weather the last few years. So, you know, there's some things that, you know, there was things that were working well. There were some things that weren't working well. Mm-hmm. And one of the things in particular was your proximity to your vehicle, because the setup and the breakdown and the load in and the load out was way too complicated. And I do think it was hurting the experience. In addition to that, it was another transaction or an increased transaction from just parking. Mm-hmm. And so we basically just went back. We heard some of the feedback. It wasn't that tailgate was broken. It was doing well. So we don't want to say it was broken, but
yeah,
we continued to think about how we could make it better and make it a more seamless transaction and a better game day experience for the fans. And so that's where we went back and we started to look around and say, could we bring parking and tailgate together? And you just tailgate at your parking spot, mm-hmm. like basically everywhere else in America. Mm-hmm. And so,
well, I mean, even I think, like, even at Florida, and I mean, you've seen big time tailgates. If there's anybody that would know it,
I mean, we've all seen it. Honestly, it's you pull in and you park and you tailgate behind your car.
So how do we like take away the world's largest cocktail party, like Florida? And
well, I think this
Georgia.
Is how we start.
Okay,
so we've been able to maintain the things that worked.
Right,
we're by moving it to the Neal Street lot. Which, again, is already a parking lot. It's been a parking lot on game day.
And Neal Street is the drive.
The drive between the stadium and the field house.
Okay.
And so by taking that space, we can maintain the proximity to grass space. Mm-hmm. We can maintain the access to the hardscape. There is some shade component there depending on time of day and where you're at. Mm-hmm. There is... and then you obviously have now you have the proximity to your vehicle and you still have the adjacency to the stadium.
Yeah.
So we think we've been able to effectively maintain the things that worked and address the things that didn't work or were complicating factors in this whole thing. And I think also, too, by just putting it together, maybe what we're trying to do is generate a thing where it's like, yeah, I will go and I will park and I'll get there early. And, you know, maybe it's 5 hours before or maybe it's an hour before, but I'm just going to pop out my chair, enjoy the time and go from there. We've got that grass space now that is now kind of open back up. We have some plans for that. And we're not ready on them yet, but we are looking at trying to activate that in a couple different ways, whether that be maybe some turnkey tailgate options, maybe even trying to see if we can get a stage band, things like that. We're not all the way fully developed there yet, but we've opened that space back up for us to be able to look at and see if we can activate in a different way moving forward to continue to improve the game day experience for folks. But, you know, one of the things, too, that's going to be different is you would buy your spot. You had a reserve spot mm-hmm. at tailgate. It's just first come, first serve now.
Okay.
So get there early, show up, set up easier,
no parking
have fun.
Fee.
You just pay parking. So there's a parking fee, and that's it. There's no tailgating fee
gotcha.
Or increased fee to tailgate as well.
Right.
Because before, if you parked, it was $25. But if you tailgated and it was single game price, it was $75. Well, we took that away. We took the incremental lift away.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're at the point where if you want to come and buy a season pass for tailgate and tailgate all five games, or really park for all five games and tailgate, it's $100. And it's the same price throughout.
Perfect.
Because there was an elevated price before if you had mm-hmm. a tailgate spot. And so now it's just flat across the board. So we've actually, in essence, reduced the price for people that want to come, park, and tailgate overall, and also created an easier flow for everybody on game day.
On the highway, the west-facing side of the stadium, mm-hmm. looking out, anything that people will notice different or new or splashier? Or?
Not over there. I mean, that's the hard part about where we're at. We're, you know, there's so much development and growth, and mm-hmm. we're really landlocked over there.
Yeah.
So it's hard to activate anything over there. I know that's where tailgate was years ago before the Welcome Center lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Welcome Center lot is the Welcome Center is there, so any available real estate that you could like genuinely activate over there is gone.
Yeah,
that's where we had the change to tailgate after the Welcome Center construction started, where we moved it to its location the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Again, good. It was good. I mean, we had good response on it, but it did present new complicating factors of, I got a parking lot too. I got to haul all my stuff to my tailgate spot, and then I got to haul it all back, and then I got to go into the stadium. And what we were, and then it was, if you wanted to try to leave at a certain time, well, if depending on the pedestrian flow coming out of the stadium, they would hold you back because they needed to protect the pedestrians, understandably.
Right.
It just got really, really complicated. And so it's one of those where, okay, well, if we just put tailgate where you park and you just park from your, if you tailgate from your parking spot, then now just
kind of makes things easier.
Makes things a lot easier for the fans. So we hear you guys. We're listening.
Is SMU going to make it easy to tailgate? We got to be over on the, like, way on the east side.
Speaking of parking and then having to walk all the way to your tailgate spot, if we thought we had parking problems here, SMU said, hold my bold gold.
Yeah. No kidding.
It's complicated there. I mean, you know, what's kind of cool about that place is I went to a game there for the first time last year. I'd never been there before for a game. You know, the fact that you're in that stadium, you kind of lose sight of the fact you're sitting in downtown Dallas. It's a really nice venue and a really nice setting for a game. So kudos to those folks there, because it's a cool experience. It's a smaller stadium, of course, but they've done a really nice job with it. And, I was there at a pretty packed game last year, and I thought it was a really nice game day experience. And so for our fans that are traveling there for week one, I think they will enjoy it as well. And we've had great response there. I mean, so in terms of just all of our tickets that we've got allocated right now, we're well over 1,000 tickets right now allocated between band, player guests, sales, everything that we've got. And we originally requested 1,500. I would say we sat in a meeting the other day, Avi, and we were wondering if that was going to be enough. So the response has been outstanding.
Those are good problems to have.
Good problems to have. And, you know, I'll say this too, and we're so close to each other, obviously. That's the closest Division I school to us. And so, you know, when you're that close and you're playing football against each other or a big game against each other, a big game for us, obviously, it creates some different problems for you in a good way. And, you know, you get more interest from, you know, big donors or politicos or just fans generally, and, you know, your staff and your campus community, which is great. And I actually said to somebody the other day, we were in a meeting kind of just working through some of the operational things for that game. And I said, you know, this is actually starting to feel a lot like when we would play at Florida on a road game, because it was so close that you had a lot of different operational details that you normally don't have because of the proximity and just the interest and the demand. And so it's been fun to flex some of those muscles before, but also we're starting to see that operationally, some of the things that we're working through, we talk about leveling up into Division I. I mean, there are elements of this game right now that feel a lot like what we would do when we would go play at Florida every year when I was at Florida State.
Okay, so that's an 8:00 kickoff.
Yep.
So we can be on national TV.
Correct.
And because of the congestion in that area, especially on a game day, how early do you think Lion fans ought to go? The gates will open, what, 2 hours?
Actually,
1 hour?
I don't even know when the gates open there off the top of my head. So it'll probably be 60, 90 120 minutes, something like that.
Okay.
But, you know, kudos to them. They've activated a lot around the stadium, so I think there's plenty to do there for our folks if they want to get there early. The Alumni Association and Lion Athletics is hosting a tailgate there, and so we'll be setting up around 5 o'clock is when we're starting that.
Okay.
So if you're interested in that, if you are a Lion Athletic Scholarship Fund donor or you are an Alumni Association member, it's actually free for you. If you want to get involved, that's a route to go, but also they're selling tickets, I think, for 20 or 25 bucks. I mean, it's a very nominal cost, but an opportunity to get together, join in just some Lion fellowship there. So, you know, check that out. And if you need some more details on that, hit us up and we'll get you squared away. But that's going to be a great event. And there's obviously a lot of energy around that already. And so, we'll kick off at 8:00. And, you know, we're excited. We'll have Spirit there. We'll have band there. We'll have a great crowd there, you know, just based on the numbers we've seen so far. The energy is there. Heck, we sold a group of 40 tickets yesterday for the game. And so they keep running in, and we're still got 2.5 weeks to go.
Is that Callaway's family?
If it not, then he needs to get them in.
This is growing.
It's a $10 ticket.
Yeah.
I mean, That's pretty good stuff. It's the best deal in town. So and a great opportunity to come out and support the Lions.
All right. Very good. Yep. Come out and support the Lions tomorrow night, or maybe tonight. Which day are we airing this?
Tomorrow night for soccer.
Soccer, yep. And there's some expectations of this soccer team right now, according to some folks.
There are some folks there. Yes, they've taken notice, for sure, appropriately so. Those ladies have worked hard. Coach Gordon's worked hard, obviously, to get that into a great spot, and so we're excited for them. You know, the thing that's crazy about soccer, they only have 16 days between the first practice and the first game. Mm-hmm. Now, that's going to change in future years. I think we talked about on a previous episode where you're starting to see the preseason kind of expand in the future. And so we'll have two additional weeks for them in the future, which I think will help a lot. Mm-hmm. We would certainly benefit from it this year as well. And so so that's going to be a you know, obviously it's a short runway. So you find out a lot in the first few games, and, you know, nothing that happens early will, you know, you're almost, sometimes you're getting ready for conference in the non-conference slate too. But
that's for sure.
You know, these ladies have so much expectations. There's nothing they can't do on the pitch this year. So excited for them. Come out and support them. We do well out there. And so
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock on Thursday. Yep, 7 o'clock on Thursday.
What do they call the opening tip of soccer? It's not kickoff. The kickoff.
Okay. Kickoff. Yeah. Okay. Kickoff. Yeah. Just kickoff. Yeah. Yeah. Kickoff.
Well, they don't run and boot it. They
could if they wanted to, I suppose.
Well, yes. Strategically, it probably
doesn't make sense.
Really do anything, but okay.
But also a good opportunity this weekend as well to come out and meet some of all of our student athletes that are here on campus right now.
Movie night.
We got a movie night in the
Memorial
stadium. That's right. So a great partner with Hedro here in Commerce, who have come together to put on a movie night with us in the stadium. It's the Minecraft movie. Mm-hmm. So that should be fun for the kids as well.
Now, is that one of those where the characters, like, they have cosplay fans at events? Obviously shaking, yeah.
So. I mean, I don't know if they'll dress up. I know my little guy, he's 7. He's all into Minecraft. So, yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, he'll be there. So when I told him it was the Minecraft, he was like, oh, that's awesome. So he'll be there. But, yeah, there's an opportunity before that, a little meet and greet with some of our student-athletes that are here, football, basketball, volleyball, soccer, all the folks that are here. So good opportunity to kind of mix and mingle and get the community here with our student-athletes and then just invite them into our home. For a movie. Free of charge. Come on out. Come on out. Free of charge.
Yeah, that's it.
Parking lot 1, lot 2. Come out and join us.
Maybe bring a cooler with bottled water, some soft drinks.
Bring a chair, bring a blanket, bring a cooler, come hang out on the turf.
Be self-contained.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, temperature will be coming down a little bit at that point. And come out and enjoy a movie with us out here at the stadium.
Okay. You heard the word.
That's it.
Folks, we got coaches coming up next. Stick around some more Inside Lion Athletics when we get back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to some more Inside Lion Athletics. Charlie Chitwood here. Ashley Gordon over there. That's the Lion soccer coach. And y'all got a game tomorrow. Thursday. First one.
That's right. We're excited. You blink and it's here. Can't believe it.
And coach, there's no more asterisks. Everything now is towards postseason, and the postseason does not end at the conference tournament necessarily.
No, that's correct. No, we're excited about the opportunity, you know, and certainly does that motivate our players for non-conference play? I mean, absolutely. I mean, at this point, every game matters.
Indeed. You've got a cast of returning players. You have some newcomers. How's everybody blending in? Soccer really has a short clock to get ready.
That's right. Integrated players, that's been one of our main goals in preseason. Four are freshmen and one was a transfer that really we started preseason. And whereas the other players, you know, we had all spring. But still, you know, with a game that matters and being able to prepare for non-conference play, you know, we're excited to have everybody on the field.
5-0 in your scrimmage. Y'all were able to find the net in the scrimmage the other day.
That was awesome. That was awesome. We had a ton of contribution from many of our players. You know, our forwards, I thought, contribution and production from all three of our forwards. We had Maya Mitchell, who had 2 goals and assist. We had HB, Hannah Bell, had a goal, and Renata had assists. So anyway, a lot of production from our forwards. Mm-hmm. One of our center midfielders had a goal, and then we had an outside back, a defender, that scored a goal. So I think it really, a reflection of the game, because I thought, I thought we played well, and I thought that we were certain goals that we had going into the game, mm-hmm. We were able to see. I was really pleased. I was really pleased with just, again, how we played in our first exhibition match, and now we just got to get ready for the real game.
So those exhibitions, they still call them friendlies, right?
I mean, are they any different
from a real game, other than the fact that they're not going to count in the standings?
I mean, it's an exhibition, but our players know that anytime they're lacing up their boots and they're stepping on the field, they're no one's friends. when you come out of preseason, you're excited maybe that you get to have the opportunity to compete and kick somebody else besides each other in practice. But it was competitive. It was a competitive game, but we were pleased with just being able to get off shots. I was really pleased with some transition moments, especially with our backs. Mm-hmm. We had two players, two of our newbies, one freshman and one of our transfers, Peyton, that were new to the back line, and I thought both had really, really good games, which is Kelsey Lefevre and Peyton. Elena Flores, like I mentioned, had scored a goal, and she played outside back, but I was really pleased with our play from our defenders playing box to box and getting into the attack. I thought that they were really good.
You have more than one true freshman on the squad, but you had one that really contributed the other night.
That was Kelsey. Yeah, that was Kelsey. No, I thought that she had a really good game.
The pride of Princeton?
Yeah.
That's her.
Princeton, that's her. That's her. And then Peyton, Peyton is a player who we competed against for the past 3 years, starting center back at Lamar, and then now playing in our back line. And she was very, very steady. She brings a calmness to the back line and certainly experience, and she's a disciplined player. And so I think she's been a great addition.
All right. A lot of what people have seen of the team in their brief training is those new uniforms. They like those, huh?
They like the uniforms, yes. We look sharp in them.
That bright, like, Hunter safety yellow one, is that like leading up to a night game with no lights? Get a glow-in-the-dark ball.
Yes, a glow-in-the-dark ball. I think I mentioned to you before the percentage of shot-stopping for goalkeepers when they're wearing neon is pretty high.
Okay. But with the lights off, yeah. It's lower.
Yes.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah. No glow in the dark.
No glow in the dark.
They look great.
They look good. The girls, they look sharp. They look sharp and classy. So we're excited.
Okay. So people are excited about the season beginning in conference play as well. And your Lions are somewhat highly considered.
We don't talk about that, Charlie. We put our head down and we work. We have expectation and standards every time we step on the field, and how can we continue to grow? So, we talked about today going into tomorrow's match. Obviously, the preparation that leads up to the game is extremely important. We've come off of a successful, preseason, mm-hmm. In regards to growth. And so I think, heading into tomorrow's game, it's an opportunity to show what we've been working on in preseason. So for us, it's first and foremost, defense and organization defensively is important. Making sure that we're playing both sides of the ball in transition, which we're looking to be able to do, and we're continuing to gain fitness. Every time you step on the field and you have an opportunity to gain minutes, it's important. So,
a little bit about the defensive strategy that your team employs generally. I mean, what's your philosophy on that? A lot of people we were just talking offline. My high school coaches were teaching us that most American soccer in the 70s was kaboom ball, or you just kick it and chase it. No, it's not that way.
No, we don't do that. But every player understands from an individual standpoint, you must compete, you must tackle hard, you must get to the ball. We are a high pressing team, and we are unapologetic. when it comes to pressing the ball. And of course, our philosophy, if you can press high up the field, puts us a shorter distance to goal, and we've got creative and we've got, you know, creative personalities and players that can put the ball in the back of the net. So we're a high-pressing team, and you know, we look to compete.
So a high-pressing team with all that pressure up forward, does that kind of change the responsibilities of your backs in case somebody pops one through?
I mean, you still have to be organized. You still have to be organized from that standpoint. But you know, our outside backs understand their role when it comes to defending, but they also have to be able to get forward. You know, our midfielders understand when you don't have the ball, you got to drop. You have to drop and get behind the ball, but we have got to be able to have you know, someone to press. But our forwards understand, and our team understands actually, that defending starts with our forwards. Defending starts with our forwards. And, you know, we talk about, we don't have luxury players, you know. We look for players that are going to be blue collar, hardworking, and are going to do the dirty work. And it starts with our forwards.
That's great stuff. Yeah. All right, tell everybody, we're running out of time, but, you know, we got some local kids on this squad. And local, I mean from Northeast Texas, North right. Central Texas. But Princeton is pretty much, that's almost local.
That is local. Yeah.
I mean, they're out of Hunt County, but not by much.
LaFever, I'm expecting, you know, that they will have a whole family affair sitting on the sidelines when you're talking about a 30-minute drive to campus. But, no, the majority of our players are from Texas. And, of course, we've got a lot of players from the North Dallas area, and mm-hmm. so we have great support, not only at home but on the road, which makes it, I think, even more enjoyable for our players, and I think also is a huge recruiting tool. So players want family members and friends to come and support, but they, you know, they love it.
And Coach especially wants you to come out and admire her grass field.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
She hates turf.
No, I do hate turf. We've got a beautiful grass field, so can't wait to get on it. Charlie, I have to mention, yesterday we had a giving day for our soccer team.
Yeah.
And, we're in the process right now. Launched a fundraising event for our team. And any donations right now, you know, of course, are going to means of travel.
Okay.
As well as equipment. Our team wears heart monitors, so we're always looking to be able to fundraise for that. But we had a great day yesterday in regards to giving, so we greatly appreciate any donation to
somebody. Throws $100 to your team, what is $100 do?
Like I said,
you need several of those.
We need several of those, but it's twofold. You know, our immediate needs, heart monitors, paying for that, and means of travel. If we've got the opportunity to be able to fly versus mm-hmm. riding on a bus for 8 to 9 hours, then we're putting our athletes in a position to be more successful on the field and perform at a higher level, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, the players will definitely tell their friends that they would much rather fly to a game than get on a bus. And so
you'll be willing to schedule UTEP on the road if you have the flight.
Yeah, well, we flew there last year.
Okay.
We flew there last year. Yes, but anyway, so yesterday was giving day, so we highly encourage anybody, even if it's a $5 donation, it is much appreciated, and our players, they, you know, not only appreciate it, but they love it.
Just go to lionathletics.com and look up women's soccer, and there's probably a link there. You can do it without even leaving your living room.
That's right.
Okay.
Thanks, Charlie.
Coach Gordon. Good luck tomorrow
night.
Thank you. It's a big one. First one of the D1 era that it's let's go.
I know. Yeah, I said to our team today, it's for our seniors, it's the first of the last. You know, for our new players coming to the program, it's a first. You know, so we've got a lot of firsts tomorrow. First real game wearing Nike.
Yes.
So excited about that. And obviously, you know, East Texas A&M in Nike gear. We're excited. We're going to bring it.
All right. Lines up, folks. Hey, 7 o'clock kickoff tomorrow night here on campus. See you there.
That's right.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. More of Inside Lion Athletics. Can you believe we've already done a whole year of this, Coach?
No, I can't.
They
but
go
I'm glad.
Fast. They go
glad
fast.
It's gone by.
Hey, it's preseason is going by pretty quick. You got a date with the Ponies of Southern Methodist U to open up. You don't get a scrimmage against somebody else in the meantime.
No.
How your guys coming along?
Good. You know, we've been beating up on each other for a little while now. We just discussed off air. We moved to SMU yesterday. We had 11 days of practice in, so we were just, you know, good on goods, one-on-ones. It was a good time to break up. There was getting some heated moments out there with good on goods, a lot of pride built in out there, and it was good timing to move on to SMU and start breaking and working on them.
Coach always wants to see a little bit of fight in his team.
It doesn't bother me.
They just don't want them fighting each other too much,
right.
But I can't think of a football team I've ever seen that's not part of camp.
You worry if there's no fights, honestly.
Yeah, it's a pretty complacent bunch if they don't.
They're right.
All right, this time of year, trying to get the new faces kind of blended in with the returnees. They've had a chance, some of them, to work together this summer in the camps.
Sure.
But when you strap on the pads and get out there and, you know, running everything at 100%, it's different.
It is. And, you know, I'm really pleased on where we're at with that process. We have blended. You know, those guys that we brought in have already fit in. And, again, I think that's a credit to my coaching staff of getting the right guys in here. And, you know, if they don't fit what we have here, our culture, you know, the players will weed them out for us. And that's when you know you've done a good job if you got a player-led team, because we want them to run this team. If the coaches are running it, you're going to have a hard time winning a lot of football games, and I'm pleased where we're at with that.
Ron Peace, your starting quarterback, he won it through competition in season last year, and he's back for more. How's he looking now, and his confidence, where is he at?
Growing every day. You can see it in just the subtle things that, you know, I give them a lot of leeway, the quarterbacks, and I want them to take more. You know, I'm not always going to call the right play for them, and I'd like them to be able to put us in the right place, you know. So, and they've been doing that. They've been doing some checks with and eye contact stuff with receivers, and it makes me look real smart when they're doing that, and things are well-oiled machine out there. And today was we had two or three different looks that we got from the defense, and he checked to the right moves, and we had guys wide open. So definitely pleased with his progress.
How are the running backs looking? We've got some new faces there.
We do. A little beat up there. That was one of the – we talked a little bit, right? The running back is probably the one we're kind of beat up right now. EJ's getting healthy. Mm-hmm. He's close to being full tilt, and we're using him a lot. Jordan Hamilton's really stepped up. I mean, he's a speed burner for us, and we'd like to use him as much as possible in certain things. You know, KJ's a little beat up right now. He hadn't practiced probably in the last week or so, but he's getting close to coming back and getting some work in. And that's a good room, really is. We got some good leaders. There are great special teams players in there as well. Just slowly adding what we need in there. We put in a couple screens today, and they hit. And so you're always pleased when those hit.
Offensive line, everybody. Nobody has enough offensive line. And then you throw it all in. You had some offensive linemen, and then your coaches left. But you kind of flipped over a high card when
we did.
You got a replacement.
Yeah, it's always nice to have a guy that's been in just about every conference in America as the head O-line coach in Bobby Conley, as my right guard here at ODT. You know, him to come back and just be in Texas alone, he's getting, you know, he's my age, wanting to get back to his teacher retirement stuff. So he tried to get back in Texas and just happened to be available. We're talking about, you know, everything's happening for a reason for us. That is a great, great, you know, find for us late. And, man, it's shown. He's done a great job with the offensive line. They're getting healthy finally. We've adopted from – we've got some red jerseys. That means they can only go for a few things to green jerseys to full tilt. And we got – you know, we just got two green jerseys yesterday. So
okay.
We went from red to green, and we needed them because we have light numbers in the offensive line room. I think we have 15 in there, and we want 19. So it's been rough for those guys having to take a lot of reps. But it's been good for them. You know, they've really – even the walk-ons have really blossomed underneath Coach Conley.
How much bigger? I mean, that's what everybody's going to ask. How big's our O-line? We got some big guys up front.
Well,
we know we do.
We're going to pass the look test. I had 340. I was sitting by the O-line when they weighed in a couple days ago. We had 345, 344, and 343. That's pretty good. And we got several guys that are, you know, 310, 315. Now we got to be able to move a little better with that. You know, there's a good mix in there of players that were back from last year, and we've added some, sprinkled in some players and new players, and it's a heated battle in there right now. We got six or seven guys we really like. Now it's just a matter of who's going to win the battle of the starting jobs.
We're weeks away still, plural, from the SMU game, Coach. Is there time left? Is everybody kind of settled in, or is there time left for somebody in camp to kind of pop their head above the rest?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's – I mean, I would say on the offensive side, there's probably at least four jobs that they're competing for. Mm-hmm. On the defensive side, I mean, it's every man for himself over there. I think the corner spots have been sewn up. Obviously, our safety with Vaughn coming back has sewn up that spot. Mm-hmm. You know, and up front, you know, Kyrie's done a great job with the linebacker crew and basically being the quarterback of the defense. So everything's going to go through him. We've got our, you know, coach to player intercoms going right now and really getting used to that. So it's a big plus, and we're going to be able to talk to our players and be able to communicate better. And I think our process on the field will be better because of it.
How well are guys taking that, you know, hey, we're playing rotations. It's not like you're the starter and you get every rep. Some guys, you know, they were that hero in high school. Sure. And played every snap of the game.
No doubt. I had my freshman raise their hand yesterday who's all here. And every one of those guys were stars on their team, you know, coming out of high school.
Right.
And now you come and you're 17, 18 years old, and you're, you know, going against grown men or 23, 24, 25. It's a learning curve, and you really try to keep them involved because they can definitely get a glaze over their eyes because they have been that guy, and now all of a sudden they're not. And, you know, and right now it's not too terrible because we're only going football, but when class hits through, that's the hardest part for them is getting through this first year. And we've got a good, you know, group of guys, upperclassmen, to really drag them along and help them with that process too.
There's a that's part of their, indoctrination is not the perfect word, but when they get on campus, sure. You know, they got to learn how to manage their business as well as be ready to play football on Saturday.
That's exactly right. Manage their business, manage their time. You know, being useful for. They have to fit in time for classes. There's so much online stuff now and not in class classes, which, you know, I think's good and bad because that they've had that interaction their whole lives in high school of being having a teacher right there in front of them, having them to adapt and then having that free time and making themselves be disciplined enough to sit down and carve out 2 hours a day for studying and looking at things as – It's a process, but you get to see who's grown up and who's not, who needs to, you know, a good swift in the kick in the butt and get them going. And again, I think we've done a great job with what we got in here, and you know, the process of going down from basically we had 140 kids last year to 105. It's definitely affected our practice as far as how we practice too. So it's a learning curve for all of us right now.
You know, I was last couple of days looking at some of the transfer lists. And holy cow, so last year there might have been two dozen FBS to FCS transfers into the Southland Conference, Coach.
Right.
And now there's almost 100 of them.
Yeah, a lot of players came available.
That waterfall was not understated.
No, I mean, again, it didn't bother me. I think it was a great thing for us. Mm-hmm. You know, we do have a lot of bad things that happen to FCS, you know, as far as you're getting your players plucked. But this year was definitely a bonus for us to have a lot of players available coming down that had their, you know, maybe not scholarship pulled, but were a walk-on at some big-time schools and didn't have a place to play. And we were open-armed them, you know, come on in, we'll give you a shot. It's amazing what the difference is of walk-ons that I have this year compared to my first year. Mm-hmm. I would not even come close to wanting to play players my first year, you know, with probably 10 of those walk-ons. Like, no way, we can't even give a practice look with some of those guys.
Yeah.
To this year where they're not far from being able to play for us, you know, and there's not much different in a scholarship kid than those kids now just because, you know, it's a slight edge on who gets money and who doesn't.
And you like to go and check out the JUCO ranks, especially because there's still diamonds in the rough there.
Absolutely. Diamonds in the rough.
With
and
experience.
That's right. And they've been sharpened. You know, they've been working. They've been actually playing games. And, you know, when you got a JUCO system like we do here in Texas, I mean, you'd be a fool not to go pull in there. And, of course, I am a little biased coming from a JUCO myself.
That's right. Yep.
But we've really hit the California JUCOs and the Mississippi JUCOs. We found some really good talent over the last few years there.
Yeah, when you look at Texas, it's Region 14 football, right?
Right.
So you're talking about Ranger, but they don't play anymore, do they?
No, they don't. No football anymore.
What a wreck. Kilgore College.
Yep.
Tyler Junior College.
Yep. Cisco, Blinn,
Cisco,
Navarro.
Trinity Valley.
Yep.
They're cranking out players.
Absolutely.
And coaches above.
And with you know, us not being able to really pour scholarships into freshmen anymore. Mm-hmm. They got a place. They got to have a place to go, and the JUCOs are loading up, which is great. You know, it's tough on those high school kids. You know, not be able to go potentially D1 and D2 like they used to because of this. You can't just afford to go put a bunch of scholarships in freshmen.
Yeah,
you know, unless you sign a 3-year deal. You know, and you're going to stay there. Mm-hmm. You know, that kid may sit on the bench for 2 years and he come out and have a great spring game and never play it down for you, and you spent 2.5 years of scholarship on him and he's gone. You know, that's just – I just can't do that anymore. So, it's you know, bringing those guys in that can play right now for me.
It's kind of like you get with the JUCO guy 2 years of playing time.
Sure.
If you get, you know, a guy that's exhausted his JUCO eligibility versus portal guys that they're playing experience is all over the
limited
place. So many guys walked on, and you know, we've seen it here. We had a cat from Ohio State that walked on at quarterback, and when he got out there, we can see why he walked on.
Yeah, it's a different world, there's no doubt. I'd rather have a player that's been playing and against good talent. It's not like, you know, our JUCOs are, you know, some good players in there, and they'll be even better now. So I think for me, it'll always be the way to go as long as we can find them there. And we've got great relationship with our JUCO coaches.
Wide receivers. Talk a little bit about how it's all going between Ron and his catchers.
Yeah. We're very deep there across the board. You know, no one really knows Paul Odidi. Paul Odidi was going to be probably a pretty good player for us last year and tore his spleen in our last, scrimmage.
Yeah.
You know, he's a 6'5", 200-pound receiver that can really run, and didn't get a chance to play him at all. And it was his senior year. Luckily, we were able to get him another year, and we'll get to see him this year. Obviously, Christian Jourdain's back, and they have a great rapport, him and Ron. And with all of our quarterbacks, that's just who Christian is. He's going to put that work in. And it doesn't matter if it's the 4th-string quarterback, he's going to put that work in. And then our slots, we're really deep there, with TD coming back. Bilbo, Proc. I mean, we are really setting there. And obviously we got Randy Reese from SMU, who's a little banged up right now, but that's a pretty good 6 group right there. And there's several guys that I haven't mentioned that can step in there and play for us too.
Good deal. Oh, you kind of hate that you had a guy that played for SMU last year that can tell you a little bit.
Yeah, we'll take that. Yeah, he's helped out a bunch. You know, like today, they're you know, it's quirky things that matter. And their offense is a, you know, ready, ready, clap, but it's a second delay on the snap, which if you don't practice that, there could be a lot of problems for your D-line. And we're just now, you know, after day 2 of it, getting okay at it because that's not our style.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got to give the right look for the defense so they can be ready and prepared for that in the game. And, you know, thank goodness we still got, 14 days before we even think about playing them so we can get that good, you know, and give them a good look. And we have been the last 2 days.
Practices for y'all typically in the morning from when to when?
Yeah, we're basically from 9:30 to a little before noon.
Okay, so Lion fans want to come out and check in. They're, they
anytime,
can come in.
Any day.
They don't even have to sit down. They can find shade.
Yes, sir. We have an off day on this Saturday, but for the most part, you know, in between there we've got practices. We've got a little bit of a, wouldn't call it a scrimmage, but we have some referees coming out so on Friday and get a good look.
Okay, great. Folks, lines up. We are almost through Inside Lion Athletics today, but not yet. We've got Joe Morales coming
baby.
Up. Volleyball on deck. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Our last segment of this week's edition of Inside Lion Athletics. It's not this month or this summer's. We have started season 2. It took us 2 episodes to get Joe Morales in, head coach of the Lion Volleyball Squad. And like everybody that's been here before us, you're getting ready for a season that's going to be opening pretty quick. August 29th.
Yeah, August 29th, our opening tournament here, the Lion Invitational. hosting UNT, hosting Providence College, and Arkansas Little Rock. So two games on Friday, one game on Saturday to open the season with.
Man, that's awesome. It'll be here so soon.
It is.
So how's everything going? Tell us a little bit about the summer. And I know you and the team just got back from a little team-building trip up to woods of Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think we put a niche on everybody, and it's a talk a little bit. They're seeing it on Instagram. And the summer was good. I think recruiting has been great for us. You know, our coach is getting out to camps and whatnot. But, yeah, we opened this last weekend. We came in, had two great practices on Thursday and Friday. And then we took the team to Broken Bow on a little team retreat. And, you know, a little bit bonding, had some games, did some activities. And, you know, I don't know if you know, I knew I don't know if I liked it more than they did. I'm sure they loved it, but I was excited too. But no, it was a great trip. I think everybody came together. We got to do some activities like kayaking and hiking, and just talk about our season and what we want, which way we want to go, and how we want to do that. And I think it was very productive. I was very pleased with the team and how they did that and how they operated in it. And I think the leadership of the weekend kind of went from coaches to players at that point, where the players were taking over a little bit of that segment. And, you know, the returners kind of took the new ones and the younger ones under the wing a little bit. And I think everybody got acclimated really well. And we're looking for a great season and trying to transition that weekend for the season.
You know, you mentioned the big sister, little sister is the way I was going to put it. You know, the newcomers and the returnees. You know, it's a culture, and every team has its own. Is that a part of the weekend and the team building that you want them really doing more time with than you standing there telling them?
Absolutely. I think the game's gone to a point where I think trust, culture, I think the way we talk to each other, the way that we communicate to each other, I think it's in our gym, it's a little bit, we put a little bit more premium on that than just a skill aspect of the game. I think a lot of these girls are talented, but I think you need a little bit of that to get to the next level, and that's the direction we're going in, and they're bought in, and we're kind of looking forward to that. And so it's huge for us, and it given a lot of the younger players attraction to us a little bit, because we are putting a big premium on culture and family ties and just being closer together, because we are going to face adversity. I tell the girls all the time, I don't sugarcoat it. We're going to lose some games. I get that, but it's how we bounce back. It's how we do it, not what we do. And so I think they understood that from the weekend, and we got a little bit more detailed oriented on that, and they're excited about what's to come.
So give Lion fans some of the same reasons that you're excited. I mean, are we taller up front? Are we quicker in the middle?
Yeah. Well, I think our middle. We got a good middle coming in. I think our returners are going to be great. I think Brooke has done really well along the net, blocking wise. Nevaeh is excited to get out there as well, coming in as a sophomore. But we also got Gianna Brown. Gianna Brown is one to look for. She's coming along just great. She's in the middle as well. From San Antonio, and I think she's going to give us a little bit more offensive threat there as well. You know, the DSs, we're fighting, you know, of course, you know, they're fighting for that libero spot. And so, you know, we got four quality DSs there that any one of them can take that position at any given day. And the competition level has really risen because of that. I think Gracie, being a returner, being a leader, I think she's gonna relish the opportunity to take a little bit more load of our offense, especially our offense. But then, you know, I'm excited. You know, we got Roper, Peyton Roper, and MJ on our right side that are back and in their last season. And I'll tell you what, this senior group, it's really awesome to see because they're excited about what, you know, in the last season, and, you know, putting all the chips in. And then we got some newcomers. So we'll be surprised to see Courtney Green is a senior transfer coming in on the outside. She's going to give us some leverage. Zoe is also both of them are Zoe's a junior college transfer, so she's going to give us some leverage, both six rotation a little bit, and then we got a young freshman, Caitlin Pritchard, KK as they call her, and so as a setter, and so she's going to come in, and I think this team is going to be fun to watch because I think this is going to be one of the years that we're just going to play as a team. Be very communal on the things that we do and how we do it, and I think it's going to be fun journey.
The recruiting's behind us so much, but there's a couple of things that, you know, in football, all of a sudden there was this huge waterfall from the roster limits of FBS players coming down. They didn't have that in volleyball, and you know, or did they?
Well, we had our roster caps definitely, but I don't think we had a big spillover as football did, or maybe even basketball. You know, I usually keep 16 to 18 is usually my number, and that's the roster cap at 18.
Okay.
I don't usually go any over than that. So even last year we were at 18, and I think, you know, we try to keep it that way just because we want a lot of productivity with the kids we have on the roster. And so to us, it's not a big, huge effect in it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hurt us that much because we're usually recruiting at that same pace anyway. I think it's a perfect tornado a little bit. So, you know, there's some years that I will carry 18, just depending on how young we are, what we need. And, you know, and to give it, you know, if I'm recruiting 16, I may have two spots available to see what pops up last minute. But like I said, like when I'm recruiting, it's a culture first.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm going to look at talent, but it's going to be the culture and of the player, the person. We want that person to want to be here. We want that person to want to work. Blue collar mentality. We want that person to buy in to what we stand for.
Mm-hmm.
And have some standards of winning. So we're very delicate with how we recruit and who we recruit.
Volleyball is a different sport from everything else. You don't need somebody that can, you know, run a 10 flat 100-yard dash.
Yeah.
But still, you've got to be fit. What fitness prepares the volleyball team?
Well, I think, you know, our strength and conditioning coach, JP, does a good job of us. We want to be quick, fast horizontally and quick vertically, right?
You need that quick twitch.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, we focus a little bit on simple movement, on quickness and agility a little bit, plyos a little bit. We want the vertical to be up, definitely. We want to play at a high level. We want to play high. So I think them coming out right now, we're spending a lot of time with just a lot of team stuff, six-on-six stuff, getting them acclimated with each other, getting the newbies acclimated with the offense and the defense. But I think JP does a good job of getting to where we need to be by season. And also, I think a big portion of that is just maintaining. You know, you're going through a long season. You're going through a lot of travel.
Yeah.
So we're not trying to, you know, break them down and build them up right now. We're trying to maintain at their max potential as much as we can. And I think that's a big focus of mine, other than culture, is going to be a lot of rest this fall. Because we want to be really good in October, November kind of deal.
What's the communication like out on the court? I mean, it's a little bit like basketball, and everybody's close in the same space, but not everything that you tell them you want the other team to understand.
Right. Well, I think a lot
they're going to hear it, but they may not understand.
They may not understand it. It's a different book, different chapter sometimes. You know, a lot of the communication we talk about is in and out communication. It's communicating what's coming into us, communicating what's going out of us.
Okay.
You know? So, you know, maybe we're taking a ball, we're communicating what ball we're taking, how we're going to play this, and communicating out of how it came out.
Okay.
You know, I mean, there are times when, hey, we don't get a perfect ball, but if we can communicate that to our hitter, that it's not a perfect ball, they can better that ball a little bit better. So we're not just working on one-way communication, we're working on two-way communication. The other part of communication that we talk about is not just having white noise, right? Because the communication can just be chatter.
Right.
Nothing's going to be directive. Nothing is really – it's just noise. And so we want to be very diligent with our communication, with acknowledgement, with being very receptive to what's being said versus just saying things like a parrot. So we want to be very distinctive. So we do a lot of that stuff and drills and aspects of how we communicate in and out and how we're very diligent and specific with what we're saying and making sure that that's received by the other end kind of deal.
All right. Leadership on the floor with players rotating in and out. You might have a captain. But then you've got a Captain B
that takes
over when Captain A is not out on the court. Are you finding that lead? Do you have that leadership?
You know,
already?
We are still looking. It's kind of hard. They're making it hard on us right now, which is awesome to have.
Okay,
because you got a lot of seniors out there that want to lead, and then you got other pieces of the puzzle that are trying to do that too. And so, we talk about the difference between leadership and captain, right? Everyone mm-hmm. could be a leader. You know, mm-hmm. our setters on the floor run the – it's kind of like a quarterback. They're running the show. They're right. the leader. They're the voice. We want them to be very vocal. But at the same time, the captain is the person that's not always a fun guy, not always a good guy. Sometimes they got to do things to pull the reins a little bit to say,
it's accountability for their teammates.
Right, absolutely. So learning that draw in, it's something that coaches and I are looking really at. And we want to be able to do what's best for the team. So we got about another week before we kind of relish the captain mm-hmm. situation, but the leaderships are growing, and I want them to be confident in any, no matter who it's coming out of, to be leaders. You know, sometimes whoever claims that libero spot may be the leader in the back row, mm-hmm. Calling out serve receive and being a little bit more vocal. The setters running the offense. Seniors are being very, helpful with the younger players, giving them clues to get a little faster, do things what they need to be doing, what they're missing on. And so we see that conversation, and because of the retreat that we took and how we talk to players is being more receptive versus just kind of like getting the glare and like, we're doing that kind of deal. Like, they're being more receptive to it and seeing how things come along. So I think our communication is going really well. Sometimes we fall off and I pull them down the reins a little bit, but I think it's being very receptive on how we communicate to the players and how they're acknowledging it.
Okay, very good. So, Coach, we're running out of time, but, man, there's so much. 29th here.
Yes.
And, again, Providence coming out of the Big East.
Yeah.
And then who else?
UNT, North Texas. North Texas. And then we're going to have Arkansas Little Rock.
Okay. And the East Texas A&M Lion Women.
Absolutely.
Doesn't that sing?
Oh, my God. It's great. Wait till you see the jersey. I mean, you've seen them on the jersey reveal. But, man, when you see the kids playing in them, it's going to look sharp. So we're excited.
Outstanding. Lines up, folks. Thanks for tuning in again. This is only two. I think we got 40 to go.
All right, no problem. Hey, we're going to keep climbing that track there. Let's go.
All right. All the way through. Five, folks.